The following program is for entertainment and basic informational purposes only. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of Cumulus Media, WPRV Radio, its management, or staff. This is Rhode Island's longest-running financial talk show, Money Talk with Steve Beauvais.
Taking care of business and working overtime.
With market insights and so much more, talk to Steve now at 437-5000 or 1-888-345-0790. This is Money Talk with Steve Beauvais.
Well, good afternoon and welcome to the Money Talk Show on AM 790, a station for talking business. I hope you had a healthy week and hope you good health first and healthy financial situation next. Of course, that's my gig. I'm the money guy here on AM 790. One of the money folks, actually, the team consists of Don Sower, of course, his daughter, Donna Grace, myself, Steve Beauvais, and my son, Nathan Beauvais. Monday evening, Don Sower. Tuesday evening, Don and his daughter, Donna Grace. My favorite money talk show, because I'm not working. Lazy boy in the winter, or boat in the summertime, you know. Of course, these are two people that I know well and love. Don and I have good buddies for 30 years. And Donna, of course, I knew when she was a very little child. Not uncle, but pretty close, you know. So it's just a great thrill to have the young people involved. So tune in, especially the Tuesdays and Wednesdays, to enjoy our new young people on the Money Talk program. Certified financial planner, of course, Donna Grace and Nathan, soon to be certified financial planner. Don and I, certified financial planner professionals for a long time. It's been 1980 for me, so this is year 38, really, of my career. Been a wonderful, challenging, difficult along the way. The first 20 years were pretty tough. The last 10 are pretty enjoyable, but the first 20 were tough. And that's how business is, inconsistency. I understand, you know, 10 years into my career, why people sought out a safer route. I mean, yes, it's not really as stressful. The hope is, like you hopefully learn on our Wednesday nights that we have guests on that are entrepreneurs, that investments are just like careers, or you hope they are anyway, and usually they'll work out that way, where the higher risk one in the long run will pay more. But in the long run, you know, I think probably in my career choice, people that went into corporate finance probably did better than me financially the first 20 years, but not the last 10. So it's a matter of safety, you know, versus how much of a risk taker are you. So tune into our Wednesday night programs where Nathan and I talk about financial history. And once a month, Nathan arranges a guest, some young people. And that young lady that was here last Wednesday, she did a great job. She wasn't that young, but she was younger than me anyway, right? And so anyway, markets were pretty positive today. Kind of a mixed news in the stock market. Stocks doing well, hitting new highs. That's, you know, in one way, in all major rallies of stock prices or real estate or anything else for that matter, every new move is a new high. So you can't automatically say it's going to crash because it's hitting new highs. The question is, how long has it been hitting new highs? And it's been quite a while. So my posture has not changed, for those of you that are curious. Light on U.S. stocks. Your overall asset allocation should be governed by your financial plan, your needs long term, and really have very little to do with what's going on today. Unless we have a major war potential, that can really affect things a lot, or an income tax rate change, which could be coming. The income tax rate that we're facing should be to lower, and that should be conducive to prices of things here in America. Sometimes we face a time, and have in the past in our country, where we were facing income tax changes, but they were going up due to things not going well. You know, that's a negative stimulus for our economy. 437-5000, 1-888-345-0790. This is the Money Talk Show on AM 790, your station for talk and business. Podcasts available, 790business.com. Be careful doing things on your own. I'm going to be getting trouble saying this. You know, I'm a do-it-yourself guy. I'm a certified financial planner, money guy, you know, but I fix my own cars, my own boats, do all the work in my yard, you know, whenever I can, you know, so I'm all for that. But when you get into the area of finance, like wills and trusts and things, I just picture somebody, you know, seeing a cheap ad, you can set up a trust or a will. A trust are going to be the topic tonight. I'll get to that in a moment. But, you know, set up a quick trust or something online without a professional person who's done it for 20 years. I just picture somebody going through the hassle and the cost of establishing a trust to put their money in. They read all about what the advantages of a trust is. And then they come in, they call my office and say, Steve, I opened a super-duper trust like I read about, great idea, and I've got to put my accounts in the trust. And the client only has two IRAs. Her and her husband have an IRA account. And I say to them, well, you can't do that. And they say, what do you mean I can't do that? I studied it for 2 months without opening the trust, did it myself, saved some money, avoided paying anybody. But if you had done it through a professional, they would have probably said to you, what type of assets are you interested in putting in the trust? And when you said two IRAs, they would have said to you, you can't do that, and would have saved you all the cost of going through it. So believe it or not, you can't put IRAs in trust. They are because they are already in a trust. That's why they grow for 20 years and they make gains, and you don't get a 1099 to pay taxes. It's a tax-sheltered trust. So you can't place your IRA as it is inside of a trust. You'd have to close it out, pay all the income taxes. I've seen people do this. I don't think I like it, but that's another topic, I guess. But if you close, if you don't close them out, or you cannot place them in trust, you can make the beneficiary, if you die, the trust, but that's not the same thing. Placing the asset in trust today provides a protection today. Having the trust be the beneficiary of your IRA does not afford any protection to it today, only later once it's in the trust. So if your main assets are IRA accounts, 401k type things, 403bs, tax sheltered accounts, maybe a trust is not something that you need because your assets are such that you won't be able to utilize it that much. Primary use for a trust is usually a primary residence. And people would place in a trust. There are all sorts of things way beyond me, for sure. So we'll be calling the estate planning attorneys next week on this one, folks. But if you have your primary residence, you want to protect it from the value of it ever being used to pay for your health care or nursing home care, there are certain types of things you can do to place the home in trust or gift it to your children and keep what's called a life estate. So you always have the legal right to be there, but they don't own it. I mean, you don't own it anymore, so it's out of your estate. Therefore, after 5 years or so, if you were to need services, that asset is not looked at because it's no longer your asset. And what they're trying to avoid is people, and you have to understand this has to be done. We can't have people that have $1 million, give it all away Thursday morning, and then Thursday night they're knocking on the door getting free services, and they just gave the money to their children. That's just crazy. We can't have that as a regular practice. So that's why the law is such that says, you know, 5 years. It means if you're willing to plan 5 years ahead on this, then we're going to be a little more flexible with you and be more tolerant that you're it's a funny idea to give away assets, right, and then be able to qualify for free services in our society after you gave away money. Seems kind of crazy to me, because I think those free services are needed for people who are really truly in need, not me, a wealthy man who decided to give it away first and then just go sign the form and say, I don't have anything. But it's true, you know, but I gave it away. But I don't think that's really what it's supposed to be there for myself, you know. So let's try to leave these sort of benefits for those who truly, you know, truly are in need and never had the assets to pay for their own care. Now, if that's not your angle on things, you can open a trust, but you can't do it quickly. And assets placed in a trust less than 5 years, it's a little more complicated than that. Again, I'm not the solve-all, end-all. Please see your local friendly estate planning attorney. They're very smart people, you know. It's a very heady topic. Estate planning is like a kind of like a domino game, you know. Everything's push-shove up against each other. And in the world of estate planning, if you create a trust that solves a problem and you go, oh, great. You probably created a new problem that you don't like by the establishment of the trust, either through some limitation, illiquidity, or exposing it to something else. I mean, I remember years ago, don't do this one, a single lady telling me she put her young nephew's name on all of her savings and checking accounts for, you know, in case he wasn't capable. They were very close. She trusted him. And it wasn't that he couldn't be trusted. It's that he's young and he's out late at night and he was in a car accident and he was partially to blame and his aunt's assets were taken in the lawsuit. So if you have money in the bank and you need a young person's name somewhere in there to make it easier, get a POD, on your account. That means payable upon death. Direct beneficiary. It doesn't cost anything. No one knows about it. It's not a product anyone can sell, so you don't hear about it much. So ask your local bank expert, regarding your bank accounts anyway, about something called a POD. And she could have had the young man down as a POD, meaning he received the money if she were to die, avoiding probate and all that stuff, but without taking risk. You don't want to have, I don't think you want someone else having ownership interest in your money in order to accomplish that sort of a convenience. Seems pretty risky to me. This is Steve Bovee on the Money Talk Show, and we'll be right back.
This is Money Talk with Steve Bovee, exclusively on AM 790 Talk and Business.
Welcome back to the Money Talk Show. This is AM 790, your station for talk and business. Congratulations to Drive Through Radio. They've been around as long as we have. I think we're the two, probably what, some of the longer running programs around, I think. Those guys are great. They helped me solve a problem with one of my boats 20 years ago. I called them on a Saturday morning from down my dad's house in Bristol and couldn't figure out this problem with this boat, and they nailed it right on the radio that night. Went back to the boat, did what they told me to do, and that was it. They nailed it. I never forgot it. Thought about calling them a few times during the year just to say thanks again and say hello, but seeing as I'm very involved in the program now, I thought I might look a little silly, a little staged, you know, so I don't want to do that. But anyway, congratulations. That's been around a long time. And I parked next to that wild car you have out there in the parking lot, that Corvair, when I pulled in. What a riot that is. 1964, I think it is. Yeah, he loves that car. Hey, this is the Money Talk Show. Tonight we're going to talk a little bit about trust now. This is a topic I don't go near very often. It's really a bit beyond my level, to be honest with you, as far as expertise goes. A trust would be an attorney. I'm not that. But have enough experience around it to talk about it in a general way. So hopefully you can refine your understanding, formulate some better questions, and then eventually talk to somebody who really does know what they're talking about trust. A little humility there. I don't know quite a bit about this stuff, but you definitely don't want to make any final decisions ever based upon the opinion of someone who is talking about a topic that is not what they do all day. You know, you can have ancillary knowledge, I'll call it, okay? So basically there's two types of trust, revocable and irrevocable. Revocable means you can take it back, right? So it's good for providing health care and tax advantages and things of that nature. It doesn't do anything as far as reducing your estate. Only irrevocable does that. Irrevocable, of course, means you cannot take it back. Once it's in the trust, whatever's in the trust cannot be removed. It can only be there for the purposes of the trust for the remainder of the life of the trust. You can have a charitable trust. You can have a special needs trust, right? For if you have a life insurance and you have a special needs child, most likely your beneficiary of your life insurance policy may be a special needs trust. And it could be, testamentary, which means it isn't created until after your death. The opposite would be a living trust. It's active and alive right now. A testamentary trust doesn't come into effect until after you die. So maybe, see your experts on this one. But, you know, the special needs trust might not be necessary if you did pass away because you're no longer able to take care of or help a child with special needs. So those type of trusts can be used to protect money and help qualify for services in our society and benefits and things of that nature. Very important, you know. So trusts are either revocable or irrevocable. If they're irrevocable, I believe they have a separate tax ID number. If they're revocable, use your own tax ID number, and they're taxed to you. An irrevocable trust would have its own tax filing, a separate tax return, I believe, or at least a separate calculation, and then a carry forward. A trust can be taxed at 15, brackets like 15%, then 25, 28, 33, 39. There isn't currently a big difference, which would... Planners love is a tax environment where the maximum income tax bracket, like now it's about 39, isn't the same as the trust max. So by moving money out of a person's private life into a trust, you can get a lower tax rate. Right now, that's really not the case. The maximum rates are about the same at 39. So a trust is mostly used because you don't trust someone. Maybe you don't trust them to do the right thing, or maybe it's just that they're young, maybe they have a history of, they're a good person, you love them like crazy, but they have a bad pattern with money. And you know if you died right now and they're still 30, they're still too young, not mature enough to handle $500,000 that they would get from you. So you put it into a trust that says what it can be used for until a certain age. If you have a child who is very bad with money, that means they're undisciplined. That's the I get a big kick out of that one. Well, I'm not good with money. Yeah, you know what that means. It means you're undisciplined. They won't use those words, discipline, because discipline is a choice. And if once you understand discipline is the answer to something, guess what? You can do it. Because discipline is just a decision you make. I'm going to do this or I'm not going to do this. It doesn't take any special talent or genius. So nobody ever wants to admit that discipline is the answer to things, but it usually is, in my opinion. So it's an easy out, you know, if you can find another reason for it, I guess. But the trust is there because you don't trust the circumstance, or you don't trust that someone will do what you think they should do with the money. So you can control the money beyond your lifespan after you're gone, you know, by using a trust. And they can be wonderful tools, and many of them are used for protecting innocent people, you know, people with health issues and things of that nature. And it can be done if you have a over $5 million estate right now here in Rhode Island, then you should be considering the use of some sort of trust. Again, with the aid of a cutting-edge expert, this is a very general review of what trusts are. A dear friend of mine and retired financial advisor in Cumberland, Rhode Island, Mr. John Wallowitz, often told me that little joke, and I shared it with my clients for years. I want to thank him, if he's listening, for sharing that one with me. Why do you need a trust when you don't trust somebody? He was a funny financial advisor. He still is, as a matter of fact, and one of my confidants and the Secret Money Talk research project, I always said. He never let me give him any credit for it, but he was always feeding me ideas over the years to help me out here on the show. So if he's listening, thanks again for that, too. But you may trust everyone you're dealing with, and you still might want to trust. But especially if you don't trust someone that you got to give money to, or you want to help out, but you don't trust them handling it right. You know, that word trust is a funny word there. A trust can be a wonderful tool to help a person, to protect someone maybe from themselves. You know, you wouldn't want to give someone who had a habit of drug addiction, right, a big pile of money. You could kill them. That could be the death knell. You know, I mean, forget about the wasting of the money. That's not important as the life. So you wouldn't want to do that. That's a real good example of why you want to use a trust. You don't want to die, you and your spouse, and leave $1 million in assets to your 31-year-old son who's had, you know, 10 years of drug addiction problems. Now, it doesn't mean he can't get better. It doesn't mean we don't believe in him. It just means right now the pattern is such that if we leave him this money now, it might kill him having all access to that dough if you've got those kind of habit problems, you know. So there usually is a good cost, a good reason for why someone uses a trust, and it usually is because they love someone, and they either want to make sure that they don't hurt themselves with the situation, or they're trying to maximize their own assets that they worked for all their life, you know, to be sure that their children receive the maximum percent chunk of what they produce. And I feel that way. You know, I want my children to receive the maximum amount of whatever I don't use in the end. But I got bad news. I'm planning on using it. I believe in what was called capital utilization in retirement. I don't want to die and have $800,000 in an IRA account. I'm going to say I should have taken the kids to Hawaii 6 times. You know, so I'm a guy who believes in monitoring your assets, but don't be afraid to use the money. Most of us, if we live past age 75, can be okay day-to-day on our fixed benefits, Social Security, pension, things like that. Financial needs are usually pretty low after that point, and it usually becomes a time of benevolence where we really are thinking more about others than ourselves, because it brings us greater joy. I have a bunch of grandchildren and children, and it's nothing more thrilling ever. No check that I ever write that was more of a gas for me than was helping my children and my grandchildren. So, but you have to make sure you get your own house in order first, right, folks? Every now and then I run into that. I've had a couple come in last year, just concerned on why they can't get on track and they can't save. And the amount of money they were giving their children now was just too much. All well-intended, and they told us that they told me that the children kept telling you, no, 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 please. They're wonderful, as most kids are. They don't want anything from their parents if they can help it, most of that way. But they just, for some reason, some people are have a hard time connecting. Now, if I were, you know, without any financial education, if I were struggling financially, the first thing I would say is, you know, what money's going out the door that isn't me or my spouse? And then does that really have to be happening right now if we're struggling? You know, but some people just don't connect the dots, I guess. And what the financial planning process for them was to figure out how much they had to lower their giving because they didn't want to stop it. Now, it was early in life for them to be doing it, and they really weren't in a position, but they were committed to it, you know. So that your job as a financial advisor is not to tell people what to want. It's to tell them the best way to get it. So what I did was calculate what they needed to save for retirement, and we decided that they would cut their giving in half, and that half would go into retirement, and it solved their problem. If they do that for 17 more years, they'll be fine. They continue to give now. So they did not have to give up what they love doing. They just had to manage it better. This is Steve Bove, Certified Financial Planner Professional on the Money Talk Show, and we'll be back.
This is Money Talk with Steve Bove, exclusively on AM 790 Talk and Business.
Welcome back to the Money Talk Show. We're talking about trust tonight. Trust, of course, is very important in the financial planning advice arena. I've never taken any advice from or paid anyone for advice I didn't thought I could trust, and you shouldn't either. But the trust we're talking about tonight is the type of an account. You know, it's an entity. It really is a considered a legal entity. And so trusts are complicated. They are an area of the financial planning field that are really out there. The folks that can do this stuff are very smart people, I tell you. You've heard a few of them here with the program. Check out local attorneys that you find on the local internet because many of them have great information on their websites. I can think of a few, but I don't want to isolate two. But any of the local attorneys, you could do a Google search for in Rhode Island, you know, estate planning attorneys, and then visit a few websites. And many of them have wonderful education on the website. So before you, and I suggest that you look into this wording of these things before you talk to the attorney. I think it will help you not be intimidated, you know. What's the difference between a living trust and a testamentary trust? Well, living trust is now, and a testamentary means you write it all up and it doesn't happen until you die. Next morning, the trust opens. Following the day, I'm sure I'm not accurate on that one. I'm not the expert. But soon after, there you go, there's the wording. Soon after your passing, the trust would open. Now, I think if you had a minor child with special needs, that's probably the one you'd want. See, if you open a trust now, then if the laws change on trust next year, you may have to update the trust and pay some more costs. So if you need a trust, do it. But don't jump the gun. You know, don't do it until you think you need to do it. Because it can be many years of updates and changes and when the trust isn't really, maybe not doing an awful lot yet, you know, depending on what the purpose of it is. If the purpose of the trust is primarily to provide some sort of advantage after death, then that trust could remain open and not doing anything spectacular, you know, for many years with some sort of cost associated with it. So make sure you understand the payback, how long does it take, you know. And again, visit these websites of some of these local attorneys we have here in Rhode Island, or Massachusetts, of course, or anywhere in the country you like. Information is wonderful in that there are no geographic, you know, borders. Again, if you want to get money out of your estate and really accomplish, you know, something really big in the estate planning arena with a trust, it's kind of got to be an irrevocable trust. A trust that you can take back, you know, isn't finite, so it doesn't accomplish it. It surely does not remove assets from your estate. But you don't need to be concerned about that, folks, unless you have over $5 million in assets. I had a conversation the other day with a very educated, bright fellow who was shocked to hear that. Absolutely shocked that there's no estate taxes if you have under $5 million right now, federal estate tax. Over $5 million can be as high as 55%. Estate taxes are something that our current leadership doesn't like, including I don't like it either. The money's already been taxed once. Don't believe in taxing money twice. That's insanity, if you ask me. Now, you want to tax it a little more the first time? Because I know that's what you'll do. If you drop the secondary tax, you'll make the front one a little bigger. All right, do that then. Having something taxed twice in a lifetime, a dollar bill, you had to pay income taxes on it to get it, then you put it in something else, then you die, your family has to pay 55% tax again. What if you paid 39% first, then 55? Let's talk about 90%. I mean, come on, you know? So estate tax are a bummer, and that's why we're talking about trust tonight. Now, the trust can be used for many other things, as I mentioned. Only if you have an estate over $5 million do you need to be concerned about that. And even if you're over $5 million, there's ways of structuring things, so you still don't have a real problem. But if you're fortunate enough to have a very large estate today, you know, movie star, superstar athlete type numbers, there's going to be a tax in the end, in addition to giant taxes along the way. And I just don't think it's right to overly burden any one person just because they happen to have made it. That's not Beauvais' way, you know. I don't believe that. So I pay quite a bit more than the average person does in income taxes every year, and I'm okay with that. I'm okay with paying six times, seven times. But where does it get to a point where one of these movie stars or such, you know, they pay these crazy amounts in taxes? Now, I'm not anywhere near their level of income, but I always called it the superstar tax, which means don't try, you're never going to get any sympathy. If you're the most successful guy in the room, don't complain about anything. You'll never get a wink of sympathy out of anybody because it's human nature that we want to burden more onto the people that earn more. And sometimes, you know, in some ways of life, I agree with all that. I do believe in welfare, and I do believe in charitable needs and people in need and us all pooling together to help our fellow man. So I agree with all that stuff. I'm just kind of moderate about it all, if you're interested at all, you know, sort of in the middle. Trust. You can open a trust for income, for health maintenance, housing, education, or even for retirement. You could open a trust that's the purpose of it is to fund a child's retirement someday because you feel they won't be able to do it. Some people have debilitating illnesses and limitations that hinder them from earning a living, yet they're going to have a pretty normal lifespan. You know, and that's a real high needs situation. If you are in that situation as a family, I would highly recommend you see a local estate planning attorneys, some of those that have experience in the area of special needs trusts, because what's more precious and beautiful than a little child, especially a little child with an issue like that? So there are things that can be done, and you may be surprised along the journey. You may find a nice, friendly young attorney who's trying to make her mark and help you out and give you the service at a nice price. I had a couple of experiences along the way. One couple that I have as a financial planning clients, when I met them, they told me their story and what they had been through. And they were these two people who could take every blow in life and keep smiling. They adopted seven children. Five of them had special needs and had illnesses and disabilities. And these people were just the nicest, happiest people. And they had burdens in their life like you could not believe. I met that's one example. Another man early in my career who had a terrible problem with his kidneys. Had a lot of expense, hard to work, and things like that. And so I tried to go out of my way with people like that. Like that young couple that had a farm in South County, and they had all those children. And I always did the financial planning for free. I never charged them. And they always said, you know, well, you can we'll charge us something. I said, no, don't worry about it. It's okay, you know. What goes around comes around, you know. So, I mean, what I'm getting at is sometimes when you're poking around out there, if you don't have a lot of dough, you'll find a young shop attorney who's willing to make a little investment, you know, and make a relationship, maybe give you a little discount. So don't be afraid to ask once you see the prices is where I'm going with all this. Can you get a little discount? Hey, if you travel, just a little offbeat note, but if you travel, really travel, like far away. I went to Guatemala last December on a little fishing trip. And somebody I know, somebody really smart, it's probably Don, said, hey, call the insurance company, just tell them you're going, ask, just chat about it with them, you know? And I said, boy, you know, I'm a homebody, so I don't travel that much. So I did. I called our insurance company that we have at the company, you know, and I talked with them, and they sent me right over an email. I gave them the location I'd be staying at in Guatemala, and they gave me, I knew where the chiropractor's office was versus the building I was staying in if I needed it, you know. They looked at my history file, and they said, oh, we see some chiropractor work here. And so they made sure I knew where the chiropractors were. And more importantly, what services close to my area for emergency and ones that would take my health insurance coverage, you know. I think if you are in Guatemala and you have to pay cash and they find that out, I think something tells me the price is going to go way up. You know, because you're stuck. I mean, there's nothing you can do. So absolutely a brilliant suggestion made by someone to me, and so I'm in the learning mode here. If you're traveling anything other than, you know, up and down the coastline in the U.S., if you're getting on a plane and leaving the country, Make sure you've spoken to your insurance company about your health insurance coverage in those locations and ask them if they can provide you an email, a package that I got, which gave me everything I could possibly ever need. It made me feel, I felt so safe. And then we went out and caught 60 sailfish, three of us, in Guatemala, and didn't get one scratch the whole time, which is quite amazing to me. But anyway, if you are traveling, check out your health insurance. I think it can be a real lifesaver. Literally, hopefully not, right, on a trip like that. But the hassle of not knowing what to do when you're injured in a foreign land. I mean, think about not knowing what to do. Now, if that was me, I would have pulled my briefcase out. My buddy John was with me. I would have handed him that list from the insurance company and say, find where we should go. In 2 minutes, we would know what to do. Great, 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 great advice from somebody a little more wise than myself. And they shared that one with me. So I'm passing it along. Interest rates are the lowest they've been in a long time. The opening news today, I didn't read it to you. I usually don't. But it's talking about rates being low and head faking a little lower. Then they're not going to go a lot lower, but they could always dribble a little more down. And then eventually they'll take off. You can get a 15-year mortgage right now, and I think this is a good thing. You hear Mighty Dave Ramsey here on AM 790 talking about if you're going to take out a mortgage, try to limit it to 15 years. I like that. No, you can't do that when mortgages are 7, 9, 10, 12%. I understand that, but that's not where they are right now. And so I did a little research. I know some people in the mortgage business, and I was able to speak to some people this afternoon at Pawtucket Credit Union right here in Rhode Island. And they have a 15-year mortgage at 3%. With no points and low closing costs. Boy, if you're buying a house or if you've got a personal line of credit that's going up on you, this is what you need to do. You need to convert it to a fixed rate unless you feel you can pay the debt off in the next 2 or 3 years, in my opinion. So if you want to find out more about a 15-year 3% mortgage with a local bank, call 465-7345. You'll probably speak to my friend Brad, who gave me information on this. Thank you, Brad, for helping me out with that. You know, we have all these people we rely on, and we're so afraid to look like a fool, right? So imagine me taking that information from a stranger on the phone today and just repeating it to you. The risk I'd be taking, what if it's not accurate? What if it's really wrong, you know? So by going to people that you know very well, like this fellow Brad over here at Brad Sudall at Pawtucket Credit Union, I can have confidence that the information I'm using to try to help you, you know, is accurate and current and all that, because I'm dealing with a very current professional in that mortgage field. So 15% mortgage, great way to borrow money if you're going to do it. 3%, no points, just some closing costs, but they got a special pricing structure there, so it's a little lower than usual to promote this. If you're going to borrow, folks, I think this is the way that you do it. 437-5000, 1-888-345-0790, and check out our podcast, too, at 790.com. Every now and then I'll have a night where I'm tired or something, you know, and I feel like I stumbled a bit while I was here. I can go home and play it back and see how silly I sounded. But if we happen to say something, hopefully, that you think is interesting and helpful instead, which we would prefer, you can check out our podcast and play some back programs. This is the Money Talk Show, and we'll be right back.
This is Money Talk with Steve Bove, exclusively on AM 790 Talk and Business.
Welcome back to the Money Talk Show on AM 790. This is your station for talk and business. Hey, new index to take a look at, you fellow nerds out there. It's called the Global Dow. We've had the Dow and the S&P for a long time, but those are just American companies. I think that almost is, except for evaluation of individual mutual funds, I think those indexes have become pretty obsolete. If you're not thinking globally today with your money, I think you're missing the boat. Now, footnote. Long run, like U.S. stocks, better than any other country on earth. But there are times, like when rates are rising here, that more times than not, you'll see the foreign markets pick up. The last couple of years, I had been sharing this on the air quite a bit. I'll tell you one of the reasons. There was a couple of reasons. This global Dow is about half U.S. and then the rest of the world, so it represents, you know, the whole globe. And I think if you are 60 years old, you have $500,000 or more in your IRA account, I'm thinking of clients of mine, that portfolio to be macro correct needs to be global. You've got to have overseas investments. You cannot have, at that age, at the end of your working career, all that money you saved and have it just in U.S. companies. I think that would be a horribly big mistake. Big mistake. Incompetent, in my opinion. Incompetent. Most people in the financial biz would agree, I think, that you can't do that. So for a few years there, that global Dow is dragging behind. And so if your stock portion of your account was what I described as proper, you're not keeping up with the market, and you're wondering why. It's because you're looking at the index on the news every evening that's just U.S. stocks, and they usually do better than all other countries. So I agree with having a good chunk there, you know, long term. But now, for the first time, I'm able to share with you for the now for the past 12 months, it has finally inverted, as I knew it would. And the S&P 500 is now up 15%, and the global Dow is up 20%. And this inversion of these behaviors is really how this stuff works. Buy and hold today is a different thing because a buy and hold portfolio has things like automatic rebalancing, current valuations. ETFs are so efficient. I have a portfolio that I like and I offer clients. It has nine, they're mutual funds, but they're these new ETFs. So there's about nine funds in the portfolio, and guess how many individual different investments there are? 5,300. So the client only has to look at and understand nine things on the statement, but the money's in 5,300 different investments, stocks and bonds, overseas, U.S., short-term bonds, and floating-rate bonds only. There are as many bond categories today as there are stocks, almost. Years ago, there was two. It was like TV channels. TV channels and bond categories. In 1975, there were two of them. Now there are many, you know. I believe, in just my opinion, that the only two that I have any interest in owning, and the only two that I really own are, in any major sense, isolated special cases here and there, it might be different, but short-duration bonds will pay 3%, very, very stable share price, very, very, the most stable, I think, in the investment world, one of the most stable. 3% dividend, that's nice. Floating rate, a little more volatile, but 4% dividend. I love my floating rate fund. I've been getting 4% on, you know, a pretty relatively safe investment for years now on my, you know, I don't have the long-term stuff there. But, you know, money you have hanging around, why not make 3 or 4% on it? Zero is a bummer, right? And then imagine getting 0.1% interest on your bank account. Then you get a 1099. At the end of the year, you have to pay taxes on it. Oh, God. It's crazy. It's been a wonderful time to be a financial advisor with rates this low because we are the ones that have the answer. You can't get the rate of return you want the way you're used to doing it. There's only one thing else you can do, and that's talk to someone like us. And there are many good people here in local Rhode Island. Go on the internet. It's a great little tool. You know, and poke around. Check out the local organization, financial planning organizations, and you can find way. They have search engines in there. You can type in your address and say, I want to interview three different financial planners, you know, within 20 miles of my home. All that kind of cool stuff you can do. And I would suggest you talk to several. Always, it's a good idea. Even if you're the advisor you hope that's chosen in the end, it's just a good process. And if a person was to meet four or five different people and then choose you as a younger advisor, let's say, well, I think they've probably got a greater likelihood of having a meaningful relationship there because they've gone through the ringer of talking to several people and they chose you. They thought, you know, that you were pretty nice. I gave a man I was talking to once a referral. I said, if you're going to talk to someone other than me, he said, I don't know who to talk to other than you, but I think I have to. And I said, well, here's the name of an old friend of mine in Westerly. His name is Mike, and he's a great financial advisor. And if I was retired, I would be happy to have him as my advisor. And he said, oh, wonderful, thank you. That's so kind of you to make a referral like that, you know, to your competition. But he's a friend too, you know. And he, long story short, about two weeks later, I came in. There was a little note on my desk, and my assistant had written and said, this gentleman had called and said, thank you so much for introducing me to Mr. Mike in Westerly. I agree, he's wonderful, and I'm going to go with him. And so I lost the account. But my good friend Mike got it, and it was a good match. It turns out the gentleman traveled in Florida a lot, and Michael's in Florida a lot, too, so it was a wonderful match. I just didn't want him to go out and compare, you know, a real experienced financial advisor to someone who might be something other than that. Let's just leave it at that, you know. So I think talking to many different people in any field before you hire someone, if you're not experienced at it, is always a wise thing to do, right? 437-5000, 1-888-345-0790. Markets were up a little bit today. International stocks are leading the way, folks. Global Dow now for 1 year, ahead of the S&P 500 by 25%. That should last a couple of years. And then I'll be right back to good old U.S. again and not liking overseas stocks. Usually don't like them. They usually don't perform well. When I've shared with a variety of people, whether they be professionals or not, about the emerging markets the last couple of years I've been talking about, I thought it would do well when rates were rising. It turns out to be working out pretty nicely so far. Even some of my experienced colleagues in the business, they all start off the same way when I said emerging markets. Hey, those things didn't do anything for years. They're terrible. And I said, yes, that's why I haven't owned them. Apparently they did and were tired of them, you know. But because I hadn't been there at all, only just recently, I had a little different look on it, you know. So emerging markets are up right now about 15-16% year-to-date, where U.S. is up only 5 or 6, so it's almost three times that. The last time interest rates rose in the U.S. was June of 04 to June of 06. 24 months, rates were straight up. During that 24-month period, the U.S. stock market gained 10%. Europe gained 40% in 2 years. And the emerging markets, I measured that by the original oldest mutual fund I know of, Templeton Emerging Markets Fund. And it gained 72% year-to-date. Now, emerging markets funds are funny. Don't just dive into them. meaning the traditional emerging markets fund is small and mid-cap growth stocks with almost no dividend. But I have an emerging markets fund that's doing very nicely. It has a dividend of 5%. That wasn't available 10 years ago, folks. This is thanks to the new ETFs that are available. In a wide variety, they're like flavors of ice cream. It's just really endless. Can be a problem if you're not experienced at sorting through it all. Hey, thank you for joining us all week at 5 p.m., and please stay with us next week, Monday night, of course, Don Sowa, right here on the Money Talk Show on AM 790, a station for talk and business. Working for the public radio.